Simsisms. Kill one bird with two stones.
Really, maybe, you know, kill, you know, what is it? One bird with two stones? Two birds with one stone?
We got it. No, it's too late. You took your hand off. You took
all
your
right,
hand off.
Yep, I got it wrong. You're right. It's Monday morning and I'm foggy. So, yes.
Simsisms.
That was fun yesterday. And now that I've had a chance to study it, I think you realized as you were starting to say it.
Yes, right.
Where it was going. And right. Then you decided to just go ahead and give us the moment. Give the people what they want.
Give them what they want.
Simsism.
Yeah.
Killing two stones with one bird.
Hey.
Which would be an impressive task.
That's talent right there. I mean, that's a whole nother level of talent. No, sometimes these Simsisms like have make some sense and have logic to them. That was not one of them. That was just pure stupidity on a Monday morning, not being able to like translate the thought in my brain and have it come out of my mouth smoothly. So I have no excuse other than stupidity for that one.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. It doesn't matter what day it
is. I know. There's no excuse.
You're good for it every day.
Oh,
we never know when it's going to happen. When you least expect it. What did @Sandor have to say about the situation on Twitter? I haven't seen it, or if I have, here it is. Man, I was going to lunch, but I stopped at the bathroom because it was on the way, killing one bird with two stones. There we go.
My man Sandor, I like it. See, he's there. That's all right. All right. I like it. Good play there.
He's got it twisted, though. It's killing two stones with one bird.
Yeah, right. Well, he's not going to go down stupid lane with me, so he's going to try to be a little bit smarter.
But it's another variation.
Now
I'm doubting what the hell the saying is supposed to be, and I'm going to carry this around for the rest of my freaking life. Every time I think kill two birds with one stone, I'm going to ask myself, wait, is that right? I've never doubted it in nearly 56 years. Kill two birds with one stone. Now I'm thinking, kill two stones with one bird. Kill two stones with two birds. Kill one bird with one stone. I don't know. I don't care.
All right.
And as of 24 hours ago, it wasn't an issue for me.
Good. Well, I hope it messes you up the rest of your life along with all these Simsisms. That's the price you have to pay for working with me. It's not done yet.
Hopefully.
Either. You got lots of wasted room in that brain for me to just beat in a few more Simsisms in there. Really ruin your life. Yeah.
The chase is on to kill as many brain cells as possible before the brain cells are infected by more of your wisdom. We got some wisdom or something last night. Finally. Let's put this in the proper perspective, because folks are already losing sight of this, and there is a very clear overlap. Let me just say this for a second. I'm not sticking to sports here. I'm making an observation that in today's society, the mindset that people bring to sports, to their favorite sports team, it's a lot like the mindset that they bring to their political team.
It is.
Their
yeah.
political viewpoint. That everything that happens, everything that's said, everything that's done, gets crammed through their perspective, their preordained belief system, and they won't change what they believe based on new evidence. Either side of the V.
Yeah.
Whether you're Democrat, Republican, left, right, doesn't matter. This is an apolitical observation to the extent that it applies to both sides. And it definitely applies to both sides. You have your belief, and damn it, you're not going to change it. And any new evidence will not cause you to yield. And I say that because when it comes to the Aaron Rodgers situation, you've got the folks who are dug in, what they believe. You got the people who think there's an issue. You got the people who say, there's no issue, there's no problem, shut up, quit it, we don't want to hear it. So we finally, Chris, after nearly four weeks, we finally hear from Aaron Rodgers. And we have to understand the perspective. He is speaking at a time when the prevailing reporting is he wants out. It's been reported he wants the general manager of the team to be fired. It's been reported that he's got a stick in a place where sticks aren't supposed to go, and it's been there since last April when they traded up to draft Jordan Love. All that stuff's out there. Hey, this is his chance. This is his chance to address the situation.
Yeah.
With all the reporting that's out there, he can say whatever he wants. So last night on Kenny Mayne's final SportsCenter episode, here's Aaron Rodgers addressing the situation with all the stuff that's been out there for a month there for him to address however he chooses. Let's hear what he had to say.
You know, I think sometimes people forget what really makes an organization. And, you know, history is important. You know, legacy of so many people who've come before you. But the people, that's the most important thing. The people make an organization. People make a business. And sometimes that gets forgotten. You know, culture is built brick by brick, the foundation of it by the people. You know, not by the organization, not by the building, not by the corporation. It's built by the people. And I've been fortunate enough to play with a number of amazing, amazing people and got to work for some amazing people as well. And it's those people that build the foundation of those entities. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know. With my situation, look, it's never been about, you know, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. You know, he a lot of fun to work together. I love coaching staff, love my teammates, you know, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, you know, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense, to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
I can't get out of my brain after hearing that, the jingle that was crafted by the folks at the Dunder Mifflin Scranton branch once upon a time. Dunder Mifflin, the people person's people people. It's all about people. I screwed that up, but you know who we mean. The people person's paper people. Try saying that 20 times fast.
No, thank you.
It's about the people. It's about the people. It's not old timer. It's a show that's on Peacock, the same thing we're on. You can watch it right now, although watch us first, watch The Office later. Look. Okay. What the hell was that?
I don't know that. That's the first thing.
It's about the people. He's not working at some mom and pop delicatessen. It's about the people. It's never about the people. They tell you it's about the people. Football is family. No, it's not. But we say it.
Yeah.
We say it.
Yeah.
Football's business.
Right.
So what's good for business? Is it good to come out and say football is business and we will fire you when it's in our best interest to do so?
Right.
We'll trade you when it's in our best interest to do so. We'll trade up and draft your replacement when it's in our best interest to do so. I don't get it. Of course it's not about the people. The people are a means to an end. The end is to win as many games and make as much money as possible. Football, wait for it, it's a cold, hard business. So I don't know where he's getting this. And does he really think, Chris, if and when he plays for another team, it's somehow going to be different?
No. Well, I think that he wants the signals to be different, or at least how he's treated differently. I mean, yeah, listen, Mike, I mean, it was definitely a little bit of a weird spiel there altogether. Hey, the whole look of it, I don't know. I mean, did he just come back from a jog and then go on there? I don't really know.
He's in Hawaii.
Okay, I didn't know that. All right, there's a little bit of an excuse.
Thanks for reading.
Fine.
Thanks for reading.
No, I didn't read it. I did not read it. I just watched the interview. I did not read your article on this one. I'm sorry. But either way, yeah, I mean, it goes back to all the things we've talked about. I mean, he's basically saying, you know, he's part of the people and they've disrespected him. And the one thing is he's basically saying he's part of the foundation of the team and he feels disrespected. I mean, I think that's what that whole spiel was about, more or less, without really just saying it, that you don't disrespect the people, the workers, the people that are a part of the building something and have been part of the foundation for a long, long time. I mean, I think these are all analogies of that. He's just saying that, hey, this is me. I've been the guy. I've been the foundation for the last 10 years or more. And now they're disrespecting me with some of the things they're doing and all of that. So, yeah, it's a cryptic message. It's, you know, very common of Aaron Rodgers, really. I don't know exactly.
So it's not about the people. It's about the person.
The
it's
person here, I
him.
Think. Right.
And it's about the people he no longer wants to associate with. And it's not about his teammates. It's not about the coaching staff. It's about the people he didn't mention, like GM Brian Gutekunst, like CEO Mark Murphy, or others in the front office who are pulling these strings in a way that's setting the stage for Aaron Rodgers to not get what he wants, which is to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers beyond his 40th birthday and to walk away on his terms, not on their terms. He wants to be the one who calls the shots as to when he's no longer the quarterback of the Packers, and he doesn't want anyone else doing it. Look, what does he think? How did his career begin? His career began because the Packers were concerned that their quarterback at the time was constantly waffling and wavering on whether or not he's going to retire. And then after three seasons of Aaron Rodgers sitting on the bench, they created a scenario where it forced Favre to retire.
Yeah.
They went to Brett Favre in February and said, we need an answer right now, right now. Got to give us an answer right now. They knew what his answer would be in February. In February, his answer is, okay, I'm out. July, when that, you know, you get that smell in the air. There's something about the grass in late July,
oh,
early
definitely.
August. It's
I
got
still
football
get it.
Smell.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you can smell it. I can smell it.
Right.
I can still remember it.
Right.
And now we're and it happens every
it
late
happens
July,
every
early
year.
August.
Right.
and then it comes back and you're ready to play football again. They knew that was going to happen. They had the door slammed and barricaded. And they basically said, get the hell out of here. And they eventually traded him, not to where he wanted to go, but where they wanted to trade him. It's a business. It's the best interest of the team. It's not about the people. It's about the team. And when it's in the best interest of the team to embrace the people who are working for the team at that moment, then embrace them. The moment it's no longer in the best interest of the team to embrace those people, you embrace other people. I don't know where Aaron Rodgers is getting this strange, idealistic view of the way that the Packers or any other football team is operated. And Chris, I think it's plain and simple pandering to the Packers fans. He knows where this is headed. He knows where it's potentially going to go. He wants the fans to say, Aaron, you know what? You're right. And we're not going to be pissed off at you for wanting out because it is supposed to be about the people. And this organization has lost sight of it. And shame on them, not shame on you, for this thing getting to the point where it is. That's the needle he's trying to thread.
I'm not going to fight you here, Mike. I mean, you know, it's my guy. I love Aaron Rodgers, but I'm not going to fight you there. I think you're right, you know, in a lot of aspects, certainly. You know, I think where it can be a little different is here where he's looking at it at least if I try to put myself in his shoes, right? I'd go, yeah, you talk about, you're right, Mike. It's the team. But he probably looks in the mirror and goes, I've kind of been the team for the 10 years. I've been the team. I'm the guy that makes everybody go, ooh, I think the Packers are in the Super Bowl window. Then there's the aspect of play. You know, hey, listen, was his play the year they drafted Jordan Love perfect? No. But come on. I just still don't think it was justified or anywhere near justification of taking a quarterback or looking at the future at that point. I mean, 26 touchdowns, you know, one. What was it that year? 26-4 that year. Okay. I mean, the year before that's 25-2 for 4,400 yards. I mean, so there's no signs of slippage at all, let alone the guy is really the presence, the entity, the team, the foundation, all of that. So there is where I can get behind Aaron Rodgers a little bit for sure and what he's saying. No doubt about it. But I go back to like what you say a little bit too, where it's a business. Yeah, I know. I like to joke around with you and say football is family. Yeah, the truth is football is the most cutthroat business in our country. That's the absolute truth of this business. I don't know where he got misled in his own brain, to your point here, Mike, of where he thought he was going to be above this. That's where I don't get it either. I'm with you. That's where I go. I don't know if he thought, wait, I've handled myself different than Brett Favre. I've been, you know, here for OTAs and done all the things I'm supposed to do and haven't had issues and been very easy contractually and all of those things. I think he thinks like I was different, so he's expecting to be treated different towards the end of his career. And as you and I both know, just teams don't give a damn. It's just when the time they feel it's time to move on, they're going to start making moves to move on.
We're not privy to the communications that underpinned the conclusions that he came to. It's possible that predecessors, Ted Thompson, had said to Aaron Rodgers at some point, you're here as long as you want to be here. And when he's at the height of his powers, why would you say anything but you're here as long as you want to be here? We'll worry about the future when the future comes. For now, the last thing we need is for this guy who is a football-throwing machine to think that he's not here as long as he wants to be here. But he's always been committed to the team, to the organization. He wants to be a Packer as long as he can. He wants to play into his 40s. That's where he is the opposite of Brett Favre.
Yes,
he's never mused about retirement. So I'm not saying he's wrong for feeling the way he feels. Folks, I'm not being critical by trying to interpret what's happening here and explaining to you, the viewer, what's the meaning behind what he's saying. And he's doing the smart thing. I've said time and again, and at one point, Kenny Mayne asked Aaron Rodgers a question last night along these lines. Basically, why is it that the fans always line up behind the organizations? Why is it they always support the billionaires whenever it goes down against one of the millionaires who work for the billionaires? Why do we support the laundry? Is it that simple? The guys wearing the laundry will change. This is an old Billy Crystal and Jerry Seinfeld bit. You're rooting for laundry. You line up in support of the green and gold.
That's right.
And whoever wears it is always temporary, so we always support the green and gold because that's what isn't changing. Is it that simple? Kenny Mayne kind of asked a question along those lines, and eventually, and I got to give Kenny Mayne credit, because Aaron Rodgers initially wanted nothing to do with anything about his situation. And Kenny Mayne kept at him, and eventually broke him down and got him to give that explanation that I think, if you understand the context, it was very telling.
Yeah.
If you don't, you look at it and you say, oh, okay, whatever. No, it's very, very telling about where his mind is and what he wants. And he had his chance last night to say, this isn't just baloney. The media is making a big deal out of nothing. Don't waste your time reading that crap. He didn't say any of that.
No,
he didn't say any of that.
That's right.
And that was his chance to do it. Yeah. If any of it was false, that was his chance to do it.
No, I'm with you. I think that really says it all. It's that. It's what he didn't say spoke the loudest to me as far as that. Yeah, you're right. He didn't really try to set the record straight in any shape or form. He kind of just tried to give you a new viewpoint of the angle he sees things from right now. And I think, you know, again, I think the real thing to me, again, just as a viewer, a guy that, you know, we're obsessed with this stuff. We read every article, do all those type of things. Like, I do think that, hey, the business part of it, I think he feels personally scorned, too. I do. You know, Green Bay is one of those places where it's kind of a community organization. Like we've talked about, it's no owner. I don't know. But it does feel like it's personal. Like, he feels like, hey, like, listen, I thought we were all good here. And, you know, hey, I signed a nice contract for you. And we've always talked. And I know you guys don't listen to me. But, you know, this seems like it's really bothered him to another level, to where it's gone beyond, you know, like you've talked about, business and the reality of the way the life is in the NFL here. And, you know, there's a real, real issue he has with Murphy and Gutekunst, it seems like, at this point.
You know, I pride myself on saying the things that others won't say, and I have tiptoed very gingerly on the don't go there side of this equation, although some of the folks who've appeared with me on PFTPM will jump to the other side of that line willy-nilly, like Shireen Williams and Miles Simmons. So let me just say this, because I think others were thinking this. When he's saying it's about the people, that's just a short skip from football is family. Not my family per se, but football is family. I mean, how are you not thinking that? How does that not continue to resonate as you try to figure out Aaron Rodgers' attitude toward the Packers when you consider the constant stories and reports about how he has no relationship with his immediate family? And that comes up. And at some point, is it fair? I don't know. And I've tried to stay away from it. But how can you avoid it when he starts reciting these these ideals that sound a lot like football is family. I mean, again, it's never been that way. This is a guy who gets pissed off, he gets mad, and once you're in his doghouse, you're there forever. And that's where Brian Gutekunst is. And that's probably where Mark Murphy is. And that's where the front office is. That's why he wants out. And it's inescapable at this point.
Yeah.
Look, with his football greatness comes his personality. And his personality is such that if you piss him off, you're dead to him.
That's right.
And that's an important factor. Whatever it is that led to whatever issues there are between him and family members, it's become well documented over the past decade plus that if you piss this guy off, you're done. It's over. And that's what they've managed to do to him.
Yeah.
So it's done. And it's over. And nothing that he said last night changes that. If anything, it reinforces it.
I think so. I think it does. It reinforces it. It makes you just walk away from last night and go, oh, like, this, it's definitely over in Green Bay. This is the last year if he's there this year. Like, this is it. He's there. That's it. But, yeah. How does he
walk this back? How does he walk this back?
I don't
back?
Think it matters.
Does he just show
because
up?
I think that's
does
why.
Does he show up and well, say, I've got philosophical differences no. with the front office, but I'm here?
Exactly. I think he's just going to go, like, you know, he's not going to say anything bad, but in his own mind, he's going to be like, hey, screw Gutekunst, screw Mark Murphy, the hell with them. And then he told you, I love my coaches, I love my players. All right. So he loves the team and all that. And he'll be able to just kind of box himself into the football aspect. And yeah, he'll have to see Murphy and Gutekunst out on the practice field occasionally and all that, but he'll keep his distance. And really, come on, we know they're going to keep his distance from him. They'll know where he's at in the facility, and they'll know to go like, oh, we'll stay over
is
here.
Is that the way that you want to run a football team?
It's not perfect. You're right, but I think you can get away with it when it comes to front office and players as compared to maybe if there was a coach and a player, right? I do think you can get away with it with this aspect of it as compared to true friction between player and player or coach and player. That's a different dynamic. This is one that, yeah, not comfortable, but I don't think it's going to filter into the locker room or the team.
We've joked about this from time to time, but the ultimate resolution for Aaron Rodgers is to come back 1 year, win the Super Bowl, go get the ball and take it over to the warden and say, stick this in your trophy case, just like Paul Crewe in the longest yard. And if the warden gets too close to the practice field at any point during the season, he's going to take a spiral to the groin.
Oh, I was going to say
like
the
same walking
thing.
Boss
you
did.
Better watch out. You better make sure you're positioned right on the practice field.
Yeah. The field. Goody,
exactly.
Stay away or wear a cup. Wear two cups if you get near the practice field. I have believed for the past couple of weeks that because the Packers aren't giving in,
right,
that Aaron Rodgers' only play is to eventually show up and yeah. say, hey, what's the big deal?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And it was odd. He was smiling, and it was all very light, the way he was delivering his words that, if you consider the context, are pretty ominous. There is a chasm, a fissure, as Mike Tirico characterized it when it all first came up a couple of days later at the Kentucky Derby, and he spoke to Rodgers, and Rodgers yeah. wouldn't speak on camera, but Tirico said fissure and chasm. It's still there.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
It's still there. Loves his coaching staff, loves his teammates, loves the fans, middle finger to the front office, and again, as long as the Packers aren't going to trade him, then the only option is he shows up, he deals with it, they deal with it, and they try to get through one more season together and then figure out where it goes from there.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of where we're at, really. And I don't know. I mean, even if the season goes really well and everything like that, it's one of those where I don't know. Maybe other than a Super Bowl win, I don't see them mending this and getting this back together. It seems like it's at the point of, you know, no return. Maybe a Super Bowl win and a Rodgers MVP could soothe it over. But
I think the more he does, the worse it gets. That's what he said last night. He threw a wrench into things by winning the MVP. See, that tells me that he believed they were going to throw him overboard after
yes,
the 2020
this, yeah,
season.
Right, right.
And he threw a wrench in their plans
right.
by reaching a level that they thought he no longer could reach.
Right.
So it just... Look, I still think that Mark Murphy was the mad scientist in all this. He saw that in 2019, how that lengthy report from Tyler Dunn, who at the time was at Bleacher Report, and I remember Murphy's quote when everyone was seeking a response from the Packers about Tyler's reporting on the dysfunction between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. And McCarthy, of course, was gone by then. But at some point, Murphy said something along the lines of, if this upsets some people, maybe that's good for us. And they went 13-3 and almost got to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I can't help. And I said this over and over again. Mark Murphy wants Aaron Rodgers to be just pissed off enough. Sorry, all cities in the UK and Ireland, because they don't like it when we say London. Then we say Manchester. And they say, how about Glasgow? How about this? Okay, everybody, since they bleep it when we say that word. If they even put the show on today, because it wasn't on yesterday, and I had 50 emails about that. There's nothing I can do about it. Maybe we'll be on, maybe we won't. Regardless, what was I saying? Mark Murphy. He wants Aaron Rodgers to be in that spot where he's motivated and he's driven. And he goes out and he plays great, but he's not so upset that he says, get me the hell out of here. Well, he's upset enough to say that he says, get me the hell out of here.
Right.
So they overplayed it.
Yes.
And so I'm still not convinced he's going to show up. I'm waffling on that worse than Favre on retirement. One day I think he is, the next day I think he isn't. And I think the more I think about what he said last night, I won't be surprised if he's not there, at least at the beginning. At least at the beginning. You know, the next thing's mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
He's not there for OTAs.
Right.
Whatever's cost him to go to Hawaii, it's $500,000 more than that because he's going to lose his workout bonus.
Yeah.
Which, to him, what's $500,000? I don't sound like Randy Moss.
Right.
But it's still $500,000.
I know. No, I know. It's a lot of damn money. There's no doubt about that. I can't imagine him stepping away. As much as I think he'd like to stick it to them and give them an issue or anything like that, I do think he's too legacy aware. I do think he likes playing too much, and I do think he's too aware that he's playing at such a high level that, like, you just don't quit right now. You just don't. And, you know, the team is pretty damn good around him. You know, they got a chance. They can make a run at the Super Bowl. We know that. So that's where I have a hard time thinking he'll give it away. Now, give them a hard time during training camp. Yeah, maybe show up a few days late. I don't know. Or maybe he just takes a few practices off more than normal. I don't know what his approach will be. I really don't. He doesn't seem concerned with it right now. I mean, hey, listen, you know me. I am a professional body watcher, right? The one thing I take from that interview, too, is I go, damn, he looks skinny. He could eat some more. Are we going to start training for the season? Let's go. We got to start packing on some weight and getting ready to play football here at some point. So I know he's got a juice cleanse and he's doing all that type of stuff, too. But, yeah, right now, it just things are crazy.
Fancy schmancy cleanse, some word that I didn't even know what it was. So it must be some new thing, but it works. 15 pounds. It must be no scotch, no tequila.
Boring.
Because let me tell you, quickest way to lose weight is to start cutting that out.
Boring.
15 pounds off for Aaron Rodgers. And I remember a time in Brett Favre's career where he lost like 20 pounds in the offseason, stopped drinking soda pop when he went out to dinner, right? Just the soda pop, the no soda pop diet.
Yeah.
And he lost 20 pounds. And he got banged around. You know, you got to have a thickness to you if you're going to play quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
They can't start throwing you around like a rag doll. That's how you get injured.
Exactly. You got to have some armor on you. You do. You know, you got to have something to protect you. I don't care who you are. You know, it's Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, the fastest we've ever seen. You know, they're still hitting the weights and making sure that, hey, when I have to turn the corner or, you know, I got guys collapsing on me in the pocket, that you can withstand that those blows, blow after blow after blow. That's where you need it. And, yeah, that's I would think he's aware of that. I would. But, yes, it doesn't seem like he's ready to be in football shape or do that stuff right now.
Yeah, hey, look, the clock is ticking toward their mandatory minicamp in Green Bay. Right now, if I had to guess, I'd say he's not going to be there. I'd say minus yeah. 135 would be the odds that he doesn't show, plus 140 the odds that he does show based upon what we saw last night. Just as kind of a trial balloon, how will the fans react to Aaron Rodgers not showing up for mandatory minicamp? Will that be the middle finger that causes them to go ahead and trade him.
Yeah.
And then he makes a decision about training camp based upon the reaction to him not being at mandatory minicamp. That's what I think he's going to do.
Yeah,
he might.
I'm with you. I don't think he's mandatory minicamp. I say he's not there. This is the one thing I do think of, too, a little bit with Rodgers. You tell me if I'm crazy or this or anything. But this is just the competitor of me where, I put myself in his shoes. One thing I do is just going to go like, I mean, why give Jordan Love all these reps? Why? I mean, you want to stay in Green Bay. Go there. Yep. Take all the reps. Say you need more reps. I need more. Screw Jordan Love over. I mean, screw their plans over. Oh, Jordan was supposed to get 7 this period? Give me 3 of those. I want 3 of those. I got to work on those plays. I mean, honestly, those are the things that would have been going through my brain a little bit too. I'd be going, you know what? I'm going to go there and get better and kind of make sure this guy doesn't get much better and kind of really screw up their plans. And then they're stuck with me the year after. That would be part of my thought process. I mean, I know that's a little psycho, but I don't think it's that psycho for a competitor or a quarterback in the NFL.
First of all, he's skipping the OTAs, giving Jordan Love all the
exactly.
Reps.
That's what I mean.
Second
yeah.
of all, maybe he's already sized him up and
just says, "I just said it ain't happening."
Ahead.
Right.
Go ahead. Have fun.
Well, that
have
was
fun.
A rumor last year that was a real rumor in the NFL last year during training camp that basically that happened and. Rodgers told some people, like, I'm okay here for a few years. Don't you worry. There's nobody going to be threatening me, so I don't know.
Hey, and I've heard the same thing,
yeah.
that the assessment of the players is the young guy's not ready.
Right.
And how could he be?
He wasn't even dressed. They
tell
you.
Preseason.
Right.
Never played last year, and they did have training camp, but not like a normal training camp.
Yeah.
So it's a learning curve that
it is.
He's still at the bottom of. Okay, so we've known about Deshaun Watson since January. We found out about Russell Wilson in February. Then came April with the Aaron Rodgers guys who want out. They want out. They want out. Now, after weeks of the Falcons trying to delicately posture a trade, Julio Jones called up yesterday by Shannon Sharp live on the air. And pro tip for anyone out there who does a show and might get someone on the telephone, probably a good idea to tell them at the outset of the call, not at the end of the call, that you're live on the air, just in case. But during that conversation, Julio Jones said, I'm out of there. And then the reports came afterward. The cleanup on aisle 5 was, well, he requested a trade months ago. Well, you no one ever said that. Now you're just saying that because the guy's come out and said, I'm out of there. It really does hurt the Falcons' trade leverage. Not that they had a lot anyway, but it's not like they can say to anyone they're negotiating with after yesterday when he says publicly, I'm out of there, well, you know, we may just keep him. No one's going to buy it now. Even if they were going to buy it before just a little bit, whatever little bit they were going to believe, we'll just keep him, that's gone now, Chris.
Yeah,
he's out of there. He's made it clear.
Yeah, made it clear. I mean, listen, from what I know, from people I know in the NFL, he had no idea he was on the air yesterday. I found that out from somebody in the know here that, yes, he and his agent were very disappointed after. And if that is the case, I mean, yeah, that's kind of messed up by Shannon Sharp. But listen, I like Shannon Sharp. He's got a big mouth like me and all those type of things. But, yeah, that was not exactly the coolest thing he's ever done if that's the way it went down. No doubt about it. Listen, Julio Jones, I mean, yeah, they want to trade him. We know that. Does it really hurt their leverage, Mike? I mean, there's probably the NFL knows. These teams know. They're aware that he's on the trade block. You know?
Well, they know they want to trade him, but it became clear yesterday – I want out. I'm
yes,
out of there.
Right.
They've kept that quiet for months.
Sure. They kept it quiet. I still think at the end of the day, I don't think it'll affect anything. I don't. Just from...
I think it won't affect anything because they didn't have a ton of trade leverage anyway.
No. And I think it's going to come down to, again, like a little bit like we talked about yesterday, you know, that they need teams involved. And I think that's where they just got to kind of wait this out a little bit to get some more teams involved. Whether that's, you know, the teams we saw, you know, through our points bet spreads, the most favorable odds, the Colts, the, you know, the 49ers, the Chargers, right? Those were the three teams. I mean, we've heard names like the Patriots be involved. You know, I would imagine the Titans, like I said yesterday, the Colts, they all make sense. You know, that ultimately, that's what Atlanta wants. They just want to get more than one team interested. And then they are going to be able to get maybe what they want and figure out those contract things and what you're talking about. What?
Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay. There they are at plus 1,200.
Yeah.
I mean, tie it together. You want to fix this.
It's
about the people. Go get the person named Julio.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it if you're the Green Bay Packers. But, yeah, we still threw it all, Chris. Even yesterday, think about it. It was before lunchtime when – all of a sudden, Julio Jones and did Julio. The words "did Julio" were trending on Twitter because the question was, did Julio know?
Yeah, right, right.
He was on the air when he said, I'm out of there. But we still haven't heard. There hasn't been anything. Because here's what happens. This is chum in the water for the sharks who cover the NFL for a living and try to find things out 5 minutes before they become publicly known. So all the reporters out there, whoa, what is it? Who's interested? Who's interested? So everyone's calling. Everyone's looking. Everyone's trying to find out who's interested, and it's crickets.
Yeah.
It's crickets. There's yet to be a team that has been clearly linked to the Falcons negotiating a possible trade for
Right. I haven't heard anything either, right? Nothing substantial that way. I was told by someone that the Titans and the Patriots are very much on his radar. All right, so that's someone I trust that has a little knowledge of the matter, so we'll see where that goes. Again, I have a hard time. You know, you got to get it worked out and feeling comfortable, like we've talked about. You know, the money situation, you know, the practice habits, where's his body at? But if teams start to feel comfortable and maybe they do their due diligence and, you know, we know how this works. A team talks to Julio Jones' personal trainer, and now they get an idea of where his body's at. Who knows? These teams are smart. Oh, Julio's going to work out at this field at this time later today? Oh, we'll happen to be across the street to be able to watch it. I mean, this is the things that go on in the NFL. I'm sorry, everybody, but this is what does go on. And if they start to feel like he's physically comfortable, ready to go, there's going to be a market. Injuries or not, the guy's still a freak show, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. So if people can get over that aspect, that market is going to hit, and then maybe Atlanta might get what they want in a first rounder or maybe a second rounder or something like that. But it's all about the health, in my opinion.
This has been out there for a month now.
Yeah.
They ain't getting a first rounder because that $15.3 million salary is fully guaranteed, and they're only going to get a second rounder if they're willing to pay some of that money. And as we said yesterday, and I wrote something about this after the show, what is the Falcons' priority here? Is it to create cap space,
right,
or is it to maximize draft capital? And whichever it is, that will skew which they get more of or give up more of. And I think it's about maximizing cap space.
You do?
I think that's what it's about.
It might be.
I think at the end of the day, it's going to end up being something like if they want to dump the full $15.3 million that's guaranteed for skill injury and cap this year, and there's also another $2 million next year, but who cares about that?
Right.
The big number is the $15.3 this year. If they truly want to get out of this without having to pay anything, I think it's going to be something like a 5 that can upgrade to a 4, maybe to a 3 based upon what he does this season. I know teams don't like to tie up multiple rounds of contingencies because it limits their ability to trade picks elsewhere for other things until we know whether the condition's been met. But I feel like it's going to take something like that, that they ain't getting a 2. And the only way they're going to get close to a 2 is if Julio Jones goes to his new team and tears it up this year.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly right. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons and the current status of that organization and where they're at with some high-end talent but not a ton of depth in a semi kind of on-the-run rebuild here a little bit, like I would take the approach of screw the money. Arthur Blank's really rich, right? We're not looking to sign any
cap space. Cap space is the problem, not cash.
I know. Either way.
They can't sign their draft picks.
So, yeah.
Currently.
Okay. So, they got to find a way to finagle that. But either way, all I'm saying is the assets of the draft pick would be the thing I would want the most at the current status of where this organization is at. I would want to follow that mold of Miami. I would want to go, hey, we'll pay $10 million of Julio's. You know, maybe we get a second and a fourth or something like that. Anything to maximize, I'm saying, with future assets to build your team. But I know it is about the cap space. So, yeah, I don't know if they got any other ways they could juggle that around and figure it out.
And remember this, it was 4 years ago that the Houston Texans, after a failed experiment with quarterback Brock Osweiler, and they owed him $16 million, fully guaranteed, for that season. They gave up a second-round pick to unload the $16 million. Basically, the Browns bought a second-round pick for $16 million. It ended up being $15 million in change because he went to the Broncos for the league minimum. But still, that is part of this. There's a dollar value that applies to the draft pick, and that's why both of these things are important. How much do you give up to get him by way of draft pick? How much do you pay him and how much do you expect the Falcons to pay? And they go hand in hand. And that may be one of the reasons why there hasn't been anything that's really boiled yet. It is going to be a nuanced dance.
Exactly. That's what I think.
The right spot.
Right. I think that's it.
And you need time to pass for the Falcons to accept you ain't getting a second round pick. You're not. So, you know, anger, denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And by next week, they'll accept the fact that it's not going to be a second round pick if they're looking to get out from under the $15.3 million in cap charges. All right, let's take a break. When we return, the Broncos, not a very good team currently, trying to resolve who their quarterback is going to be. We'll talk about that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Well, we got Teddy. We all felt like that was a great move. You know, Teddy's ready to come in and play. Teddy's ready to come in and compete. And I think that's what we need in the quarterback position. And I'm not saying that this guy's going to be the number one guy. This guy's going to be number one. I'm not saying that yet. But we have a healthy quarterback competition that can only give us positive things out of that group.
That's Von Miller, Super Bowl 50 MVP. That was the last time the Denver Broncos had a high-end quarterback in Peyton Manning, who was clearly at the end of the road, but he did enough to help the Broncos get there and win the Super Bowl. Since then, there's been 10 different guys who have started at quarterback for the Broncos, including Philip Lindsay last year during the game when the entire quarterback room was on the COVID-19 reserve list. Chris, you know, it's down to Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater with the possibility
of
that
great one.
I guess that's still looming. That's one of the teams that's on his wish list. And,
right.
You know, until it doesn't happen, there's still a chance that it could. But for now, it's Drew Lock versus Teddy Bridgewater. May the best man win. And for the Broncos' sake, may they win more than 6 or 7 games this year.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, again, you know, like, I hate the old, like, oh, we got it. It's all about the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback. It's all about the quarterback. But this is one with this team that it's kind of all about the quarterback. It really is. They got to figure this out. It's the biggest question mark on their football team. We discussed it right all over the last 2 months. You really break down Denver, look at their roster. They're one of those teams where you look and you go, oh, they could kind of jump onto the scene here and really be a player and a pain in the butt maybe in the AFC if they just get good quarterback play. So it was the right move for them to go and get Teddy Bridgewater. You can't just roll out the red carpet. Like, to what Von Miller's saying, they needed competition there. They can't roll out the red carpet for Drew Lock and just like, hey, it's okay for last year. We know you threw some dumb interceptions. It'll get better. No, they got to have the insurance policy. They got to have a guy there that kind of keeps him on his P's and Q's and crosses his T's and dots his I's every day in practice so he realizes, like, he can't go back into gunslinger mode. That's the big thing with Drew Lock. He's the guy that can maximize their team the most and be the one that really takes advantage of these wide receivers and all of that. But he could also be, out of these quarterbacks, the one that messes up the team the most too. He's got a little too much gunslinger in him, and that's why Teddy Bridgewater's there, and that's why it was a perfect move, I think, for their organization.
You know, to emphasize the point we were making last segment about Julio Jones, consider what the Broncos gave up to get Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater had a $10 million fully guaranteed salary. The Panthers are still paying 7 of it. The Broncos are paying 3, and they gave up a 6th-round pick. That's it. 6th-round pick and $3 million for a guy who was due to make $10 million guaranteed. That's how it works sometimes when you do these trades.
Yeah.
And it tells you they don't view him as a franchise guy.
Right, exactly.
But they view him as an alternative to Drew Lock in the event that Drew Lock can't get it done. And it has been since Super Bowl 50. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon,
wow,
Philip Lindsay,
whoa,
all at quarterback starting for the Denver Broncos. Drew Lock, the guy that as of a couple of years ago we thought may be the answer. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He hasn't been consistent. Here he is addressing the rumors that still continue to hover about the possibility of Aaron Rodgers becoming a member of the Broncos.
How were you able to block out the rumors of the Broncos' activity this offseason with Stafford, maybe Watson, maybe Rodgers, maybe Fields? Was that difficult?
No. Believe it or not, no, it was not. Because I decided that I was going to develop a plan in this offseason. It was going to be really long days, but it was going to be worth every single second of it. because regardless of what happened, if I stayed here, if I left, they brought someone in. My mindset was not going to change. Wherever I went, if I went somewhere, if I stayed here, I was going to be the guy. And I put every single ounce I had into that this offseason. And being able to do that gave me zero time to be able to listen to all this stuff that, you know, maybe one day I'll go back and read and laugh about all the things that were being said from these people that ended up being completely wrong. So.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Drew, just it's still kind of going on with Aaron Rodgers, right? So are you not even paying attention to that? And then I have to follow up on that, you know, that the Aaron Rodgers trade rumors
it
all
is
out there.
Okay. No, we had a great practice today. Dove into the script that we had for the last couple of days, getting ready for this. And, you know, I was happy with the way we played out there. And that was, you know, my number one concern was how I was going to go out and play. And the 7-on-7 stuff we had today. I know that was it. We didn't have any full team, but we did 7-on-7. And that was my biggest thing. And that was my focus these last couple of weeks. And I kept my thing the same over these last couple of weeks, even when that stuff kind of started popping up.
Yeah, he ain't real thrilled with this. At one point, I did notice a scratching of the corner of the mouth with a middle finger. I don't know if that was...
Oh, there was a few. Yeah, I mean, there was a few body language things where, like, whoa. You know, I mean,
you always have to watch. You always have to watch.
You got it.
Any scratching, adjustment of the glasses. There's all sorts of things you can do when you got four fingers to choose from with the one that happens. Oh, there it is. There it is.
I think that was to you.
Sometimes you're on a conference call and, you know, you're fixing your hair when somebody says something you don't like. I mean, we've seen all sorts of examples of that in recent years.
Anyway, he says all the right things. He said all the right things there. I mean, of course, hey, yeah, he's bothered by it. I mean, you can't live in Denver and be an athlete. Those fans are psycho out there. The sports media is psycho out there. You know, the Nuggets and the Rockies could be in the World Series and the NBA Finals, and it'll be the third story on the local sports radio. It'll talk about the Broncos OTAs first. That's just what it's going to be. So he's not avoiding that. He's hearing it out there. I've lived there. I've been there. You can't avoid it out there. They love their Broncos. So it's tough. Yeah, but he's just kind of going to focus on what he's got. He's got talent. He could be a star. He has star-type talent. And last year it wasn't great, but there was a lot of good. I do think people are overblowing it a little bit, like oh, man, they got to find somebody new. I don't know. I don't see it that way. I think he showed enough good to where I would give him another crack if he can beat out Teddy Bridgewater here and see where it goes, because I think there is a reward. There's a big reward to maybe be had with this guy at quarterback.
He's only entering year three.
Right.
And I think part of it is, even though he fell to pick 42 overall, second rounder, because he was regarded as a first round pick.
Yeah.
The expectations were almost as high as they would have been if he had been a first round pick. And it didn't help that guys like us were like, oh, here they go. They got their guy. John Elway's finally drafting his guy. Here we go. Watch out. And he had that big game against the Texans in December of 2019.
Yeah.
But again, it's injuries, it's ineffectiveness. And I think that's what's conspired to create this narrative that he's not good enough.
Agreed.
So, hey, I admire the guy for strengthening his resolve, busting his butt. He's been working with Peyton Manning. He's been putting in the effort. He's trying to become the best version of himself that he can be. That's all anyone can try to do.
That's right.
Whatever your ceiling is, put in the work every single day to get there in any line of work. Whether you're in school, whether you got a job, whatever it is, always put in the best to be the best version of yourself you can be. I admire him for that. But it's not an easy situation. Teddy Bridgewater was asked the same question yesterday, and he, you know, same idea. I ignore it. I don't pay attention to it. How can you not? How can you not, Chris?
Yeah.
How can you not?
No, you can't. I mean, you know, I was in Tampa after I lost my spleen. I was still on the roster, and you'll remember this. There was all that talk about Brett Favre coming to Tampa Bay. Now, like, I wasn't going to be able to compete with him or beat him out, so I was a little bit just like, oh, whatever, because I was still recovering and all that. But – even as you try to block it out, like you're saying, you can't. There's no possible way. Every show you turn on, it's on there. You hear it in the locker room. whether it's players talking or now the media is asking other players about it. So it's there's no way you can avoid those type of situations. As a quarterback, you know, you do what they kind of just said. You block it out as best you can and just focus on you. That's what the NFL is about. You said it right. It's about being the best version of you. You see where you go from there and can you make it happen? And you can't worry about all the other stuff or you'll drown in all the noise in this league.
And remember, it's not just Aaron Rodgers. It's also Deshaun Watson, who's been linked to the Broncos. And we were reminded yesterday of the thing that we still already knew, and it's not a surprise. He's not at OTAs. He still wants a trade. And we laid out yesterday the scenario where he still ends up being a member of the Texans, but there's also a scenario or two or more where he ends up being traded, and the Broncos continue to be one of the places where Deshaun Watson could still go. So Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, they have to worry about Aaron Rodgers, and they have to worry about Deshaun Watson showing up at any given time between now and the start of the season. Let's take a break. Tom Brady getting ready for the start of the season, gathering the troops for workouts separate and apart from what the team will be doing. Will they be there today when the OTAs begin in Tampa? We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live. Tom Brady back on Instagram a year after he tweeted or whatever. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Oh, he's so funny on Instagram. He's like he's 14 years old. I love it. The photos of all the guys working out. They were not working out at the team facility.
Right.
They worked out at the Yankees facility, Chris.
Yankees facility. That's right. I could see. You can see the stadium in the background there. The football
Rick Stroud thing. Of the Tampa Bay Times reported that Brady declined an offer to throw at the team facility yesterday. Again, look, Tommy. I hope you're ready to pay the salaries of the guys who blow out an ACL or pop an Achilles working out away from the facility, although I have a feeling the team would go ahead and pay the salaries. This is not a Juwan James situation. All you got to get is one side eye from Tom Brady, and Jason Light is approving the expenditure for the salary of the guy who tore his ACL working out across the street at the Yankees
that's
facility.
Right. So, yeah,
you know, that's a real question. Today, the OTAs start for the Buccaneers. Will the players be there? They previously issued the statement that they won't be. My understanding is that the Buccaneers have six OTA days. They're mandatory minicamps June 8th through 10. I'm not clear on whether or not they've done that recently or that was the plan all along, but teams are negotiating directly with coaches. We'll see what negotiations happened and whether it led anywhere to get players to show up at work today. It would be something if the Buccaneers hold their own OTAs right across the street from the facility, middle finger to the NFL. Hey, we're going to work out. We're just going to do it on our own like we did last year. And it worked out pretty well last year when we did it on our own.
I mean, they could get away with it. They could. I mean, I'd be one of those few teams where you'd go, all right, yeah, the offense, Brady and company are over there on that field. I mean, it's not a real legit OTA practice, but it's like as close as you're going to get. There's going to be benefits. It's going to be done the right way. Brady's going to have it organized and done to where it's almost like a practice-type mentality. So I bet you Bruce Arians doesn't really give a damn either way. I am still shocked, I guess, to a degree of that Brady has taken this stance a little bit about like leading the players to say, don't be there and all those type of things. Especially like in his own career, you know, I know towards the end he missed some OTAs, but you know, there was points where you could point to it where you go, oh, wait, he didn't show up much this year. He didn't have his best year. The years he was there, he was really great. And he's just that kind of guy. That's, I guess, where I'm still surprised. But he's going to gather them, and they're going to get their reps either way. So I'm not worried about them.
I was told that 6-minute speech he delivered on the conference call for all players, it was a Friday a couple of weeks ago. I'd love to know how many players were actually on it to hear him, but I heard it was impassioned, it was impressive, and he was all in with this idea of players directly negotiating with the teams limits on the intensity and the amount of these practices. And that's been working. And again, the NFLPA needs to get all that information together and get it publicized so people realize there has been a benefit to this effort. And Brady's name was on the lawsuit that was filed in 2011. It was Brady, it was Manning, it was Drew Brees.
They got it.
The lawsuit that was filed against the NFL. So they've been involved. And you need to have your franchise quarterbacks involved or anything like this will never work. Let's take a break. A new franchise quarterback for the LA Rams. Matthew Stafford working with Sean McVay. Will it take the Rams back to the Super Bowl and possibly allow them to win it? We'll break down the current Rams roster when PFT Live continues right after this.